Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the world building podcast where you throw spaghetti at the wall and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today's episode is all about temples and other fun, creative houses of worship. Kyle.
They don't have to be fun. They can just be
my favorite.
Really unfun.
Kyle, my favorite temple is in fantasy. Most recently is the Gauntlet of Shar. And the House of Mercy in Baldur's Gate 3. I love the aesthetics, the design of them.
They're very dark.
There's a lot of purples and moon imagery. Y'all know I love my space magic, so it's all very evocative of that. I think my favorite named temple in fantasy that I've come across recently is the Twilight Sepulchre in Skyrim, where you go for the Thieves Guild Nightingale quest.
I don't recall this quest. It was fun. Is a good name.
It was fun.
I think Twilight is a good name.
Twilight is spectacular.
You add Twilight in anything, it makes it probably better.
Really the only reason why Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart have careers.
True. They would have never found success otherwise.
No.
Zero talent. They're not attractive. You know, they were screwed.
I love that those two and Daniel Radcliffe were such intense young stars, and now we're all weird as fuck.
And they've embraced that. They're like, I want to do whatever the fuck. I want to be weird.
I want to be weird. I want to be my authentic self. I'm like, yes, go.
Yeah.
Go, please. Go do this. More of you.
I'm so happy for all of them.
All of them. I wish them nothing, like, just utter bliss for the rest of their lives.
Back to the naming conventions. I think if you're looking for a name for a temple, I highly recommend look up everything in World of Warcraft, because they have a boatload of dungeons and raids that all have kind of crazy intense names, and it's been going for 20 years, so they have to come up with even more names and even more intensity. And sometimes it feels so nondescript because you're like, really? What does that even mean? But if you apply it in a setting that is, you know, far more contained, they'll work well.
Was WoW the progenitor of the idea of let's take two exotic sounding words and throw them and merge them together? No, that wasn't WoW.
I doubt it. That's probably just
Tolkien.
That's been around forever.
Yeah.
I don't know that Tolkien did it, but people did that way before.
Yeah, I guess like back in like the Poetic Edda, there were references to Odin as Sky Father and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so,
that's just humans,
yeah,
baby.
That's fair.
But like the
a
real
good
world,
name's got to give you chills, though.
The real world has a lot of temples that are fascinating and beautiful and historically significant. You know, from ancient history. Every ancient civilization is just riddled with temples, and the most important buildings and the most like spectacular buildings, half the ones that still survive are temples for a reason. I think the coolest temple in the modern world is the Vatican, because it is a temple, it's a house of worship, and it's its own country. And that is so freaking
cool.
Those
are three big boxes to tick.
Like, it's rare that a temple is so big and so significant, it becomes a separate kingdom unto itself, where the people around it have a relationship with it, but this is a foreign land, and we have representation and official recognition as our own independent country.
It's really the ultimate othering, you know, because a lot of temples, as many temples as there were in very crowded public places, right? There's also the trope of the hidden temple that's out. You have to work together.
A journey?
Yeah, but the fancy pilgrimage.
Oh.
Where you got to make a pilgrimage to get there. You could, you know, similar to the Hajj in Islam, where you go and you visit the Kaaba.
Yeah.
In Mecca, which, while not an enclosed structure, you could absolutely frame that as an outdoor temple.
Yeah, and we've talked about how fascinating Mecca is in a previous episode. Mecca is great to go look at as a real world temple and interesting fodder for world building, because it is so massive, and a massive space for people to gather is inherently interesting.
I also love that there's, I think they're called the Kaliasa Caves, I forget exactly, and Petra's another example of this, though, is temples and cities and related areas, but mostly temples that are built into mountains.
Yeah,
those are just fun,
made into mountains, like the pyramids in Mexico. They're like, hey, we'll make a temple.
Yes,
that
very good.
That is also a mountain.
That's also that. Yeah. Also temples that are tombs. Temples that serve dual purposes are fun.
And I want to that and then bringing back in the Vatican, that like having temples,
the library,
having temples that have multiple spaces that have their own like reputation and significance. Like the Sistine Chapel is one of the finest works of art that mankind has ever produced. And it is within the Vatican,
right?
A temple. Right. And it itself is a tiny little shrine within a bigger temple.
Right.
Then you have the library, you have the catacombs,
you have the basilica.
You have the actual basilica. I have been to mass there that was in Latin. It was very weird.
Yeah.
And we had to leave and it was very awkward.
Yeah. Very, very,
but
very austere.
And they have the big outdoor space. You have all those like tiny little spaces throughout the whole building that are fascinating.
Yeah.
And create all these mini temples within a bigger temple. And I think that's cool. So whenever if you're designing a temple that is large, creating unique personas for different sections of it does a lot.
I think it's why a lot of them end up also being, you know, it comes from house of worship, but a lot of them even in fantasy get called the House of X or something like that. But that ties in with your point where, yes, this is a temple is often a place where holy orders will live. And so they need all the normal accoutrement that people would need to survive in a living place.
Yeah.
Before we get to our ideas, I told you my favorite name for the Twilight Sepulchre. Do you have a favorite named temple in fiction or even in the real world?
The favorite name?
Yeah. You were talking about how cool all the names in WoW were. Like what?
Yeah. Well, those are just, I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff in there. I'm not saying they're all cool. They're just stuff. Give me a second to think of a cool name for a temple.
Yeah, that you've seen in.
I'm going to pass for now. I'll think about it as we do this episode. Maybe by the episode, I'll have it.
Sounds good.
We'll see.
I appreciate that.
All right.
Appreciate your effort in this matter.
Give me a brief menu description for your idea.
And lo, a voice descended from the heavens.
Okay. And somehow coming from the heavens and going down, my three words are sugar, we're going down. That's four words. Sugar, we're going down.
Baby, are you down, down, down?
No,
down,
that's the down. Wrong song, yeah, you son of a bitch. I literally gave you a song and you ignored it.
Baby, which song is the sugar, we're going down?
Fall Out Boy. Sugar, we're going down swinging.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh my god,
sugar, we're going down swinging.
All right,
da, 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 da. Nope, that's a different song.
You were kind of there, but you were kind of not there. Yeah. This is not a karaoke podcast, so we'll just move on right past it. Now, Ethan, why don't you go ahead and kick us off?
Have you seen Elf, Kyle?
Yes.
Okay. What was the crux of the end sequence? What happened?
When they're in the park.
Yes.
And everybody is singing.
Why were they singing?
Because they're trying to bring Christmas belief back.
Why?
Because the Santa's sleigh did not have enough magic to run.
Exactly.
And they needed Christmas magic to come back. So then they got the people of New York, only of the New York Metro, who happened to be watching like Channel 9 news, to all sing some Christmas song.
Yeah, I took that idea and made a temple out of it. It is a massive floating city-sized temple that is powered by the belief and prayer of the adherents of its faith.
So if people stop believing, it will crash.
Correct.
So you put a nuke in the sky.
Correct.
Love it. It feels super reminiscent of the floating sky cities in Exandria with the calamity.
Yes. Like, well, I think sky cities are fucking. I just think they're
cool
neat.
And they are a trope. But then like the idea of when they actually were crashing down is like this calamity event. But in this case, they're not crashing down from hubris. They're crashing down from people like stopping believing.
I was thinking a lot about Exandria Unlimited with this, because I was also thinking about. Is there the opportunity in this world then to have a story of a mystery or spy thriller espionage type thing where we discover, oh, the city is no longer actually being kept alive or afloat by faith. It's being kept afloat by engines and...
Oh, they've like...
You know...
They've put an insurance policy in, but they don't want people to...
And they've activated it, but they don't want anybody to know because then they'll lose all their...
Their clout?
Yeah.
That's cool. I like that. That's a good I think the idea, like by it's like the temple by itself, is simple.
Yeah,
and then it's the what happens around it is where you get like, unless the temple itself is interesting, and but it seems like it's inaccessible to people, so it wouldn't have to be that interesting because people aren't getting there, or are they getting up there? It's floating.
It's floating. So
how do you get there?
So I couple ways to get there. One is it does stop to basically come to port at points because they do need evangelists.
But if it's floating, how do you get it to stop floating? You have to convince people to stop believing, or are you like building up?
So that was
like a tower that's up high enough.
It's a tower that's high enough that you can get to it. That was one idea. The other idea that I actually liked more is that it's a Peter Pan style think happy thoughts and you can fly with a little bit of pixie dust. So I started thinking about, there's a religious ritual where you sort of get blessed a little bit, like Simba. And, you know, someone puts this magic water or sparkle or something in your shoes. I don't fucking know. But if your belief is strong enough, you'll actually be able to fly. And that's how you get up there. And that is also part of what keeps the city afloat. It ties it all together. That's how also the adherents and the acolytes go out and evangelize the religion. Everything is yeah, sort of powered through faith here. Okay. And through a little bit of this magic. And so maybe it's the material that is used in this ritual is actually just the dust or the earth from the city itself, from the same material that is, because it responds to faith or belief or something like that.
Okay.
That's sort of what I was saying. I like this Peter Pan, you can fly. You know, you've got religious people flying all over the place.
I'm going to just throw out an additional idea that, take it or leave it, probably leave it, but the thinking about the monasteries at Meteora in Greece,
yeah,
where they're the monasteries built on like sheer rock formations, and so they're like they're little islands in the sky basically, and you know they're at the top of a rock formation, so they have like a straight drop, and they put little elevator things like a pulley system,
yeah,
but the monks don't leave because it's really hard to do that. But they will, like, people will deliver supplies, and then they'll pull up the supplies on the pulley system, and then, you know, bring them into the monastery and use them. And
that's cool.
Like, that could be a potential, yeah, alternative as well.
Sort of like a rope ladder treehouse thing.
Yeah. And kind of creating even more of a...
you said Meteora?
Meteora, I believe is the name.
I've never heard of this. I'm looking up pictures right now. These are very pretty. These are super cool.
They are very cool. I've been in one of them.
Fuck yeah.
I went in one that you did not need to, that you could actually just drive up to. You didn't need a pulley to get to, but yeah, they're gorgeous.
I dig this.
You but
coward.
The what? They're not public. They're working monasteries.
Not with that attitude.
But Ethan's gonna commit terrorism against a monastery.
B&E isn't terrorism.
Well, if you're not gonna make them not working anymore,
who said anything about making them not working?
You.
I just wanted to get in there.
You literally said, "I said they're working monasteries," and you said, "Not with that attitude," which implies you plan to do something.
No,
to make
you said
them
they're
not
open to the public, and that's why I said
you were lagging behind. On that
I was. I yeah. was. That is true. I understand your confusion now.
Yeah. But anyway,
B&E isn't terrorism.
Well, depends.
And yeah, are we doing it? Your idea.
Do we need to talk about January 6th right now?
Well, also your idea of the thieves that break in and steal shit and leave it in the public square, that is absolutely B&E for terrorism.
Yeah, it's true. That's B&E for sport. But so
also terrorism.
Terrorism's for sport.
If it accomplishes a political goal.
That terrorism is violence for a political goal.
Technically.
Yeah. Robespierre is the OG terrorist.
Yeah, I know. Not really. Pierre and his robes. Oh, Robespierre was not in no way the original terrorist.
No, he was.
He's a very modern, very recent terrorist.
Who's the first terrorist?
Was it Cain that slew Abel?
I don't know. You're the religion guy.
I think, so Cain, probably.
Is that a political means, though?
He was angry trying to gain favor with his parents. Adam and Eve. So, yeah, probably.
Who knows?
Lucifer Maybe.
Let us know who the first terrorist is.
Who do you think the first terrorist was? Anyway, Kyle, tell me about your temple, Kyle. Mine's up there floating because all the people are genuflecting.
All right, so my temple, I was really invested in the idea, in several ideas, and I was going scale, I was going with, like, I was so much thinking about the physicality. I'm not really interested, there's not, like, mechanics in the same way. I'm thinking more about just the physicality of the space. And I wanted to be layered. So for me, it's a pretty big temple when you walk in, but at the center
layer,
but at the center of the room is this massive opening, this going down, and it's just this huge spiral ramp, not a staircase, it's a proper ramp, and it's you know probably 50 yards across, something that's sizable in diameter. And you go down this section, and you get into different levels where access becomes more restricted.
Steps.
So, like, up at the top, it's like the top level is for the public, as are the first couple levels down the temple's ramp, and then you start to get into, like, okay, this is where the priests are. This is, you know, we're getting down into the layers, and at the bottom is like the holiest sections, because at the center of
Holy of Holies.
Yeah. And then because I think this is a religion where they're worshiping something that is beneath the surface. Like the earth's core is where they believe that their God is. Something like that.
Okay.
Or that I was also going with visuals that, like, this opening, viewing it like a well.
That's cool.
The well of eternity, the well of, you know, something. Twilight well. Let's bring Twilight in. And at the bottom...
It's actually pretty cool, the well of Twilight. It's not bad.
At the bottom of this well of Twilight is some, like, magical, beautiful substance that kind of, like, reflects this light up through the entire chamber.
Hmm.
That is, you know, like, I, you know, it, my image is like this milky blue and terracotta color, kind of like swirled together, and then that is like with like little specks and like kind of like stardusty stuff coming up. And so you look down, you're like, that's clearly magic, that's clearly something else.
Yeah.
And that is somehow a substance related to or a part of the god or whatever that is that they're here to worship. So, like, this is, like, you're tapping into the gods. That's why you can't get down there unless you're a part of, like, only, like, the more priestly and more, like, the people who work here, essentially. They're the only people who allow it at the bottom because it's closer to the heart, you know, much like the Pope is the, you know, the one who communicates to God. These are, you know, these priests.
No, it's the holier you are, the closer you can get to the source, and it is that proximity to the source that also confers holiness upon you. So it's both.
Yes.
My question here is this one temple? Is there only one temple like this, or are there multiple? Because with mine, the floating city temples, there could be multiple of those. As long as there are sufficient people who believe, live on the temple, and are engaged in active prayer, right? There's enough there.
I think this is the grand temple. And it's a one like this.
Because
I think there's probably smaller temples for the same religion, but they might have like a little pool, but none that have the dug out, you know, like quarter mile deep well.
Because if it's a layer of the earth that they're trying to get to, right, then it would make sense for there to be multiple temples because they can all go down there. They could all reach that same level. You could also have temples that where you go down, you dig, and you have a small pool maybe of something that was of the material that was drawn from the well at the primary temple. And it's also becomes you're going down to the pool. It also becomes a bit of a ritual act of anything you go down. Going down, descending is part of the prayer ritual. So you could do that, build that in as part of it too. If you have people that are out in the world, you know, traveling that are not near a temple, I could envision them maybe finding a plot of natural earth and digging a small hole to pray near, yeah, or to do as part of their prayer ritual. They wouldn't need a hole to dig a gigantic hole, but they just dig a small hole, sort of like how in Islam you do, even if you don't have water to wash your hands and feet before you pray, you can use sand. It's a ritual ablution. Mm. So you could have a ritual descent.
Oh, okay.
In the same way.
Yeah. Interesting. Yes.
Cool. There's no wrong answer.
Yeah. No, I think that this, I think that's so interesting because you've also created the religion out of it, which, you know, nice. Thinking about the getting down into the layers of the earth, like I like the idea of this being the primary, like the grand temple that is the one that is able to dig the deepest. So I think let's focus on that. And then you might have the secondary temples that have also like taken some of this liquid or something to create a smaller well from the main one that was able to get deeper, because it is hard to dig that deep. I think just physics wise. Sure. So there's that to play in that they're able to achieve it once. And now it's just, you probably can't do that again.
Twilight spring.
Hmm. Yeah.
Spring, Twilight Aquifer, Twilight Cistern.
Cistern's probably better.
Cistern, yeah. Twilight Cistern's not bad.
It's like Twilight, well, I think the Well of Twilight was fine.
Well of Twilight, okay.
But I'm
just doing the thesaurus thing in my brain.
Yeah, that's cool. I potentially, here was an idea that, and this is I was thinking about previously, is maybe they have a network where they've dug down, that they've made a network to the other temples around. So say this is a grand temple in the capital city, but then they have some smaller temples throughout the city. They have on like a deeper level that only the priests have access to. They have tunnels dug under the city to the other temples to help to bring them the liquid from the well, potentially. That's the thing to consider.
Could do
that. You're provoking that with all the like digging down deep and, you know, all that.
But it's interesting. And I'm thinking about, you know, in ancient Judaism, they would, when the Jews were wandering in the desert, they carried the tabernacle with them. And there were very specific construction rituals and instructions for how did you build the temple, you know, the tabernacle around the Holy of Holies, right? Around the Ark of the Covenant. And so that's sort of what I was thinking about the ritual of the digging and digging down is this the one thing? Is it a meteor that crashed down deep into the earth and they built a temple around and basically into the, out of the crater? And it is just this one holy thing. And that then is everything else ritually recreating that descent? Or is it are we breaking out chunks of the meteor and everything's got a small little piece? Because eventually, if it's like that, then you have to think about, are you going to run out of the substance? And what happens then?
I think it's not that. I don't think that there's a meteor or anything like that. I think it's in this world, they believe their God resides in the center of the planet.
Yeah, I like that.
And they're trying to reach them, and maybe it's just a magical substance that just happens to exist and flow down there. Yeah. Maybe it's mercury mixed with lava.
Yeah,
maybe they've hit some magma.
Yeah,
maybe they've hit a pocket of some mineral that is like a mercury that doesn't exist, that is exists elsewhere but is just so deep people don't access it.
Right. Or maybe it's mithril or something.
Yeah,
and it's right, like that could be kind of cool actually.
I want to focus in on the mercury thing for a second, because it's like, one, I think it works as a liquid because of the well.
Yeah,
but say they find it and this is an inaccessible thing that doesn't really exist a whole lot elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, well, we believed a God was down here, and we dug, and we found this. This is a sign that the God is truly here. This is a magical substance that doesn't exist anywhere
else. It's the blood of the God.
It's the blood of the God. And they say, we have found it. We have proof. Everyone buys in, yada, yada. The religion grows. Elsewhere in the world, somebody has dug in a much more benign location, has found mercury.
Mm-hmm.
Or the mercury-like substance. Mm-hmm. And now there's chaos because they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not supposed to be there. The blood of the gods, it can't be there. Like in a mountain above ground. You have to be deep in the earth, and you create a, like a story out of the chaos of okay, well now the temple is sending people to silence this, to go blow up this mountain, to go steal like all that mercury substance and to kill everybody involved, you know, yeah. To be like,
just to annex it, even saying you found this, we have laid claim over any site of this material, sort of like recreate like an oral recreate an oil baron story,
also just like a crusade.
Yeah.
You know, like
That's our God. This is ours. You can't, even if it is a magical substance that another city steampunk survives on, whatever, fine. Then you've got these monks coming in that you have to deal with who are basically citing eminent domain.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting. Cause I, again, thinking back to the flying monks and the flying religious adherents, I actually took a bit more of a Zen approach, where it's you reach this very much like in Legend of Korra, where Zaheer in season 3 reaches a state of enlightenment where he removes all attachments and then he can fly.
Okay.
Do you remember that? Where you suddenly, if it's that Zen approach plus the substance, you've got these flying monks, they're these warrior mages that are also very incredible martial artists, but they can out there and they fly around. But eventually what happens if somebody figures out a way to bypass the state of mind and just use the material to start having profane flight, basically?
Okay.
Right? And so you could have that same sort of story where no, this is our sacred material.
Yeah.
We are citing eminent domain. You can't use it for this.
I think you could do that. I think it works well as with the material being completely useless, because then it's
a more interesting story if it is.
If it's useless?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then it feels like that matches also how religion often works.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, belief.
Right. A thing is sacred because
it's faith, because they have faith in a thing. They don't have evidence that it actually is a god. It's mm-hmm. it's just a different looking liquid that no one has seen elsewhere.
Just happens to glow.
It happens to glow, and there's a lot of it, and it's filled up this place. And they've built a place that makes it feel more significant. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this grandiose well around it, covered in beautiful murals and frescoes or whatever, like whatever the decor of this place is, you know, looking up at the ceiling, they have like a mirror reflecting it back and creating a even larger, more like colorful space in the temple that's awing people into believing.
Maybe the murals are actually using the material as paint. If it's mercury and you paint it and it dries on a wall, then you could have it reflect. That's how it reflects its own light off the walls. It generates a bit of its own. You can use it for body art.
See, the problem here at the end of the day is if it's actually mercury, they're all going crazy, and we've got a mercury poisoned temple that's mad and killing each other. So it's mercury like.
No. I hear.
You can make it mercury and make them actually go crazy. The people, like maybe the priests at the bottom who are really close to it, are inhaling this pool of mercury all the time,
and they're the zealots,
and they're zealous, and they are going mad, and the religion is slowly corrupting itself because it's living in, you know, the religion at the Grand Temple, because they're the ones who are taking all this mercury in.
Yep.
But every temple outside of this is fine. They're living their lives. They're could normal. Be fun. Yeah,
could be fun. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to our little frozen lasagna then.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, your body is a temple.
Your body is a wonderland.
It is not a wonderland. That sounds capitalist. Your body is a temple. Because religion famously never involves solicitation of money. But the point is that this is a very... It is sort of capitalist, actually, now that I'm saying it out loud. It is the ultimate expression of individualism, where everyone worships the spark of the divine in themselves. I'm stealing a lot from you know, a lot of the modern American post-brunch yoga scene or pre-brunch yoga scene, where it's like everyone's got this spark of the divine, except there actually is a spark of the divine. And so you are worshiping it, you are worshiping yourself, and so you are treating yourself as an extension of the divine, as a temple, and so your body's a temple.
Cool.
Yeah, what you got?
Ding. I have to ding myself, jeez, so rude. Bringing in a bit of like the, I want to bring in the network idea, and you have a primary temple, a grand temple, and then you have all the small little temples around the world. And each of those, if you go into the basement of them, essentially, like into the private section. When you go into the private areas of these chapels, there is a little a tunnel that goes underground, and you start going down it, and it in there they have messed with the time space continuum in some way, so that you can basically you walk like a 5-minute walk, and you have walked across the entire world to the Grand Temple.
That's cool.
So they have a huge network, and they're specifically not portals; they are just tunnels that like bend time like a wormhole. So you can just walk through. You can walk for a few minutes, and then you have walked the equivalent of 5,000 miles.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
I like that. Very cool.
So, Ed, a big network, a big temple.
Big network, little walk.
All right. What stuck for you, Ethan?
Weirdly, it's the religion that we made. It's the like the idea of the ritualistic descent.
Yeah.
And digging the little hole to before you pray.
Yeah.
I think that's really...
It's a good note.
It's really... It's a natural extension. It's really fun,
mm-hmm.
right? Gets sort of at the core of it. I mean, the fantastical... fun. The fantastical elements of ours, you know, with the reflecting of the light and the flying floating house, those are fun. Those are really cool. But a good religion is good. A good religion is really good for telling a story. That's the point of it, right? Everything else is sort of set dressing and aesthetics, right? But the religion that is in pursuit of, you know, has this ritualistic descent, or in my world, that is so focused on ultimate detachment, because if these people do not maintain their sense of faith, then it actually will cause a calamity.
Yeah.
Because a fucking meteor will hit the ground. Those are interesting.
Yeah.
Whether it's floating or not, and that doesn't really matter, right? But I like those parts of it.
Yeah. It's a good point.
The religions that came out of it. That's what stuck for me.
I think the religion for mine, I think I really love it for its banality.
Yeah.
That it is just, here's the rituals. Here's the things people do. And it's not like it wouldn't be. It's not a religion that becomes the focus of a story because of what the religion itself is about.
Yeah.
The religion itself is whatever you want it to be, really, because it doesn't have a defining characteristic that is so significant that it would end the world. You know, the one where it's like, well, we want to keep the meteor up in the sky. So, like, that becomes
its slightly defining, more important.
And it's its defining trait. You often have in fantasy, you know, you have religions that are just based around, well, we worship the god of war, so we go to war.
Right.
Okay. Well, and, or we worship the Lord of Light. And it's like, okay,
so we set shit on fire.
Or you just like you just create like a zealous like monotheistic religion, and you're like, that's not all that, like, yeah, it's interesting, but it's also like, okay. There is something so refreshing about a benign religion that like is intricate and believable, but doesn't have a big role to play other than that.
Well, and that's the truth about that. I think a lot, and it makes sense because fantasy authors and sci-fi authors, spec fic authors, are trying to highlight the differences in their world from the real world. So they will make things more bombastic.
Yes.
Just to highlight those there. Look how strange this is. Look how foreign this is, right?
Yeah.
Most religion, the practice of most religion in our world is actually really banal. It comes down to, in many, most cases, what you can eat and who you can marry.
Yeah.
That's a large, I'm quoting my old favorite professor from college, that's a large portion of most religions. There are, of course, other elements of it. It's what you wear, what you read, what you don't do, not just all the things you do, but also the things that you don't do.
Yeah.
Right. But it, a lot of it is very, it's all very human. And yeah. that's what inspired me. It's like the digging of the hole. It's yeah. like this small yeah. little thing that
it's
we
a little gesture. I think it's the digging of the hole before praying that is the little, that's what really brings it home to create a small prayer ritual, like what people do when, you know, like what Muslims do before they pray.
Right.
Like, which is like fascinating ritual elements that create a real sense of religion.
Right.
Versus like, well, oh, I just was sitting on the toilet and, you know, talking to God for a second. It's like, well, that didn't feel like a ritual. It's just like you just kind of talked to God in your head.
Right.
You didn't like do anything.
Right.
You took a shit.
Right.
Versus I, you know, I washed my hands. I looked
I took my shoes off. I looked east.
Yeah. Like, or west, depending on where you are in the
sure.
world. I prayed in the direction of Mecca. Like, Muslim prayer is fascinating. And it's a similar thing what you create here. It's like prayer that has rituals, and that's cool.
Yeah, no, and Buddhism, you when you are leaving, we learned in Thailand, when you are leaving a temple, technically, a lot of people didn't do this, but apparently technically you are supposed to basically back out, because you're not supposed to turn your back on Buddha. It's like those little things.
Yeah,
like that's where religion lives. That's where we interact with it.
Yeah,
right.
But beyond that, I also really like the aesthetics of a building. I love the aesthetics of the well. I love having that light kind of from a mysterious liquid permeating this space, like this glow, and then reflecting off of like a mirrored ceiling, whatever they've done to also magnify that, to make you feel like you're bathed in the glow of this, of the blood of this god. I think that aesthetic is great too. Mm-hmm. Because I think about it from the perspective of like, you know, a writer or a DM, like what is the description you give to the characters entering the room?
Yeah.
And it, when you have a temple that you can give a grand description of, that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll perk people up.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Definitely.
Well, that's what stuck for us. Let us know what stuck for you. Email's in the show notes.
Thanks for listening, folks. Goodbye.